Jets offensively?
Yeah, I actually asked Draymond that very same question. He mentioned that it affected his aggressiveness in the second quarter. And when it affects Draymond's aggressiveness, I mean, he's the guy that sets the tone there. So it was always a trickle-down effect. He had Jordan Bell then picking up two fouls. But I want to pinpoint it just on Draymond's early foul trouble. It was kind of the culmination of how they started in general. You had that and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson not missing shots, and that really, or missing shots, and that seemed to really affect how they were playing defensively, because that opened some things up for Toronto in transition, and the Warriors kind of succumbed to that, you know, fault that if your shot isn't going, suddenly your engagement level on defense drops, and you're doing that against a Raptors team, that's a recipe for losing by 20 points.
Steve Kerr talked about the challenge of defending the mantle and trying to live up to what they've done over the past four seasons and whatnot. How much does that affect them, and is there a sense that the energy is dipping because they know mostly that come April, that's when the games are going to really matter?
Yeah, it's an interesting proposition, maybe to some degree, but when you talk to some players like Kevin Durant, they kind of downplayed that. The reality is the Warriors are on a four-game winning streak, and they sense that, okay, this is the time they're going to start making a run because, you know, before this point, the Warriors were kind of going through a malaise this past month with the Draymond KD incident, losing four games in a row, not having Steph Curry and Draymond Green in the lineup. So, I mean, before yesterday's game, it seemed like the Warriors were finally locked in and ready to exert their full rotation. I think it really had more to do with execution than effort. When I was watching the game yesterday, it didn't feel like to me that the Warriors were just dogging and slogging through and weren't trying. And believe me, I've seen a lot of those games where it's happened, and that's resulted in either an ugly loss or maybe talent just being able to cover up everything. Here, I saw the perfect storm of Steph and Klay having both poor shooting nights. They weren't engaged defensively in terms of just being disciplined. And then you have a Raptors team that I can't really find a weakness on that team. I know they didn't have Kawhi Leonard, and he's a game changer, but from top to bottom, they have it all with Kyle Lowry running the point and his playmaking. They have a lot of good three-point shooters. They're able to get to the basket off pick and rolls and just post-ups. So I think that comes to show that if you're not executing well, there's going to be teams like the Raptors that can take full advantage, because this is a team that very well the Warriors could see in June.
I want to go there exactly where you were talking about the pick and roll and in the posts and getting guys down in the paint. You saw Denny Green get Steph down in the paint, and just time he could recover, it was too late because he already had posted up in too deep, no double teams. The coaching, did you think the execution of the coaching, is should that have been different adjustments, or you just thought, this is what it is, go out and play, your best is good enough, or do you think they need to make adjustments when you saw the way Denny and or the guys was getting already down in the block and it was, you know, a mismatch? What do you think just as far as the coaching aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, Steve Kerr was pretty critical of his own coaching, saying that he needs to get the guys prepared, but I subscribe more to what Draymond Green said, that it's on the players with making adjustments defensively. I mean, the Warriors are kind of in this damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario where they don't want to give up the three. They know they drive and kick. And to the Warriors' credit, you know, Toronto only shot 9 of 28 from three. The problem was they were trying to account so much for the perimeter that all of a sudden they leave the paint unguarded. I think I chalk it up more when you're talking defensively, that Draymond set the tone with the early foul trouble. You have Jordan Bell then doing some of his, you know, young mistakes, or he bites on pump fakes all the time, so he has some foul trouble. And suddenly they don't have any front court depth. They already were without it, with Andre Iguodala missing his second consecutive game because of some right hip tightness. And so I think defensively that's where things started to go awry. And then the fact that they weren't hitting shots, the Warriors weren't able to get back in transition.
Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. He covers the Warriors for the Mercury News. You mentioned front court depth. Are the Warriors putting too many eggs in the DeMarcus Cousins basket that when he comes back, he'll be the elixir to their interior woes?
I wouldn't say too many eggs in the basket. I mean, the reality is when Draymond's back in the lineup, they're going to be a good team defensively, as long as he doesn't get in foul trouble. But yeah, there's no question that without DeMarcus Cousins, their center position is pretty in flux, because before this, it was a time to try to develop the young guys. And even if I think that they're better off for doing that strategy of going young instead of keeping guys like Zaza Pachulia and JaVale McGee and, you know, David West was retiring, they went through a lot of learning curves where you didn't know what you were going to get. There have been pretty predominant weaknesses that those guys have, whether you're looking at Damian Jones with his foul trouble and aggressiveness, Jordan Bell with him kind of being erratic, Kevon Looney being dependable defensively but not showing much on offense. But I think the reality is that you have Draymond Green there, you have Andre Iguodala there, you should be able to hold the fort down. You have three all-stars with Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. So I don't want to say the Warriors are putting their eggs in a basket on DeMarcus. Like, he was, you know, acquired last summer as kind of a luxury, that he was suddenly available at the mid-level taxpayer exception. They won an NBA championship the past 2 years with four all-stars. So if you're certainly going to analyze the Warriors' weakness, it would be at the center spot, but I don't know if that's really changed the last year. It's just been the circumstances where they had some veteran guys with Zaza and JaVale, but they were kind of wild cards as well. Assuming that DeMarcus doesn't have any setbacks, and he hasn't had any setbacks with his Achilles, even a diminished version of himself is still going to be a vast upgrade over what the Warriors had last year. And you know what? Worst case that he doesn't bring something, you know, the Warriors have managed to win a title with four all-stars instead of five.
Yeah, and JaVale McGee, you see what he is. He is definitely a guy that can run the court. He can play in spurts, a rim protector, can block shots. And that presence, he and Zaza last year brought that. Even besides that center position, you look at the backups on this team. Jericho, who is the guy that you can look at when the all-stars go out? Who is going to be the glue that is going to be able to put some scoring together for this team on a consistent basis, far as in the backup role?
Yeah, it's a good question, because I don't see anyone in the reserves that can just get you automatic buckets. But I think when you have the all-stars there that are drawing double teams, I think that so far we've seen that Jonas Jerebko and Alphonso McKinney are pretty dependable. They're very good at kind of stuffing the box score with all those little things and hustle plays and also making open shots. On another scenario, I would say that, you know, Andre Iguodala is your guy, but he really just kind of shows flashes. I mean, he showed a playoff version of himself last week against Milwaukee, but other than that, it seems like he's just biding his time. And then, you know, these past two games, he's been out with injuries. So, you know, what was interesting when the Warriors were without their all-stars and they had those overlapping injuries with Steph and Draymond, it wasn't just the fact that they're losing that talent. They're also losing that floor spacing and double team presence that could give, you know, role players open looks. And so I think when you're looking at the rotation with the bench, they're in kind of this middle ground where they have guys that can give them points, but it all depends on who else is on the floor to draw double teams. And I haven't seen that on a consistent basis, that if these all-stars are out, they can kind of hold the fort down. There's a reason why the Warriors weren't able to do that without Steph and Draymond, not just because of, you know, the points they produce, but all of a sudden the floor shrank and they weren't getting open looks that they're normally accustomed to getting.
Mark, thanks for the insights. We appreciate it. We'll see you in Sacramento on Friday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
The great Mark Medina over at the Mercury News. Did you see what Shaq said about his Lakers versus these Warriors? Plus, the Hawaii contest gets juicy when we continue. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Juicy. Today, it's a Warriors 1-2 punch on 95.7 The Game. Two-time champion David West joins the station at 4:15.
Dunked it down. Right-hand slam for David West.
Followed by head coach Steve Kerr at 5.
Kevin, in his heart, loves efficiency. He relishes being perfect.
The today on the Home of the Champ. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
The poor lady's name is Rosanna, which is a beautiful name, by the way, but you know she's been dogged by this Toto tune for the better part of almost 40 years now, Jim.
Has it been that long?
Song's classic. It's ageless.
Yes, but, and shout out Rosanna, who called from earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And
I thought she was lovely.
Thank you, Pittsburgh. She was lovely. But the fact that her name is Rosanna and Toto happened to have a hit called Rosanna, you know every time she does anything in her life, it's meet me, hooray. Poor lady.
Same thing for anyone named Beth.
Yes, Beth, I hear you calling, and yep. I just can't get to the phone right now.
Nice.
I think I sent you the voicemail. That's how that goes. There's a number of other names like that, like Lola would be another one. L-O-L-A,
Lola. Not a lot of
Lolas,
though, right? Not a lot of Lolas. And isn't that about a cross-dressing dude?
I don't know.
I believe it is, well, isn't it?
A little early right now for that, 7:19, pay the over.
What do you mean too early?
Pay the over.
I'm talking about a song.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure. Lyrically, I'd have to look it up.
We know, James.
I'll take your word for it.
We'll take your word, James.
95795.
Hit us on the Chilled Auto Body text line.
It's 7:20 right now.
It sure is,
Jim. We've been doing some damage at 7:20 this week.
Yes, James.
All right, what does that mean? What are we time for? What is it time for?
It's time to qualify one last great listener, one of the many billions of listeners, for a trip to Hawaii, courtesy our dear friends at Alaska Airlines, James.
All right. That's right. 95.7 The Game, Alaska Airlines, Hawaii for the Holidays Flyaway Contest. We're sending one listener and three guests on a dream vacation this holiday season, courtesy of Alaska Airlines, with nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii. If you haven't already, well, you can register now. Qualify 95.7thegame.com. But, you know what? Probably right now we got our names. Right.
Well, we don't have our backup name in case the name you're about to call doesn't call in. We will call a backup name.
The last potential qualifier.
Wow. The first one. Shane Hart. Or Shane Hart from
in this Shane, program. Hart from.
Shane Hart from San Carlos. Shane.
That was the greatest.
Remember my name, Shane. Shane, you have 9 minutes and 50 seconds to call the contest line at 415-402-6865. Shane Hart.
6865.
Shane Hart from San Carlos. You have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call us on the contest line at 415-402-6865. If you don't call us back, we will pick another name and announce it to confirm with Shane off air if he calls back. Shane Hart from San Carlos. You're on the clock, Shane.
Shane Hart from. No one was better than Warner from, because it did sound like it fit.
It did. It did. Is this the great Dean Martin,
I think,
by the way?
Bing Crosby, right?
Thank you, Anna Kakadikes.
Bing?
Yeah.
So here's how it works in this. I say, is this the great Dean Martin? And he nods. And then she says, Bing Crosby. And he comes on the air and says, yes. So that's the kind of mixed messages we deal with here on 9% of the Game.
Good job by the text line. They did, in fact, confirm that Lola is about a cross-dressing guy who hooks up with another guy. Oh, Lola is a dude. And Rosanna is actually about Rosanna Arquette. Did you know that?
I thought it was about Rosanna from Pittsburgh, but apparently I had that wrong. Stephen again, nodding. So.
Another reference to Oh Sherry from Stephen.
Sherry would be another
Sherry.
You know, another name that gets songified.
I got it, girl. Right,
let's get ourselves on the rails here. We got it going in the power hour. One strong hour of sports conversation with you. We told you that John Clayton's going to join us top of the hour, 8 o'clock.
Richard.
We got to jump into this Warriors conversation. Warriors losing last night 113-93 to the Toronto Raptors. Worst loss in Steve Kerr era, or is there another loss that jumps out to you?
I think you had it right before the show, Jim. The opener, the beginning of the Kevin Durant era on the season opener in
Spurs.
2016 against the Spurs, they lost by 29. I was at that game. Yeah. That was a straight boating. And I didn't know Oracle was on the water, but I guess it's close enough to where you can get a motorboat in there occasionally, much like last night.
Yeah, they got motorboated last night.
Someone on the text line said that our good friend Monty Poole was using motorboating on the postgame last night.
Was he?
He did. Someone said that he took your motorboating last
night. Nice, Ronnie.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible if Monty did that.
I know.
We'll have to get a second source on that.
Yeah,
we can verify
it. Let's see if we can verify that.
Something about that opener,
we were there.
Kevin Durant, you first game in a Warrior uniform. We were all so jazzed up against the Spurs, a team that was still, at the time, a formidable rival. But Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard went off. You had no answer for LaMarcus Aldridge, and you got crushed. I think that, just because of the hype around it, is the worst loss in the Steve Kerr.
I would say that, yeah, that one, that first one had so much attention to it.
But the first game, you're like, okay, we're looking for it. Opening that night, you want to see the Warriors.
Right,
KD.
There was a new glitz and glamour.
So anticipation was there. I get that. But this one to me was, everyone knows it's like that, you know, the quarter point. You're already like a quarter of the way in the season. You went to Toronto and you found a way to battle back. You're down by as many as 10, 15. You come back in that game, take it to overtime. It's a hot, it's going back and forth. It's an exciting game without Stephen Curry and without Dre. So you got to see that, and it's like, man, everyone's saying this is going to be a great preview of the NBA Finals. Then fast forward 2 weeks, and leading up to this game, this is all we've been talking about, saying, okay, we got our guy back. We have Draymond back, and we got Steph Curry back. Now we'll see if Toronto's going to come. Hell, we had Rick Hamilton come on yesterday and said, oh, we're going to win by double digits. Oh, the Dubs are going to win by double digits. Now they're back. And you had Toronto just didn't even know Kawhi. Come in here, and you said, okay, here we go. Get your popcorn out. And they jumped on them. They jumped on the Warriors, and it was like watching a fight when they could not. It was just watching like an old prize fighter, and he's fighting a new guy on the block, and the new guy just can't, just getting off on him. And you saw the champ. They couldn't respond. It was 10-8 round, and they just never seemed like they were in the fight.
You know what I found interesting is that in the offseason, when LeBron James left to go to the Lakers, I kept wondering, when is someone in the East going to step up to the plate? Now's your chance in the East to do something. And no one really made any immediate moves. Then it was the Kawhi move because he was having problems with Pop in San Antonio. And now during the season, it's the 76ers adding Jimmy Butler. And more Eastern teams are getting better. And Milwaukee might have the MVP in the league in your buddy Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak.
Celtics are starting to get hot.
And getting hot. Where is the biggest threat to the Warriors? Is it out of the West or is it out of the East?
It's out of the East, as my good friend Lorenzo Neal said.
Now you're friends.
We've always been friends, Jim. Friends, enemies, frenemies. We go back and forth like family because that's what family does. The love is deep and it's untenable. You, Joe, Top Rope, no one can drive a wedge between Lo and I. We may fight. Oh, yeah. We may verbally joust from time to time, but I'm a big enough man to admit when Lo is right, and I may have been on the wrong side of history. And Lo said back in, I believe it was early October, he said, guys, this year in the association, the Warriors are still the best team in the NBA. We know that. That's unmutable. But the Eastern Conference now has, top to bottom, more competition. They're more top-heavy, and there are more threats in the East.
It's almost verbatim. Oh, my.
Thank you, Coach. I remember when you did it, you lapsed into your Obama.
Yes.
You did some Obama, four words at a time, like our former president. Your speech pattern, your tempo.
Thanks, Obama.
Thank you very much for that, Barack. And I believe you ended it with an uptick.
Does it?
Why are we even here?
I'm speechless.
Why are we even here?
I'll do the show for all three if you want, Coz. I'll be here to start. This is Johnny Most.
Hey, Froggy.
Stolen by DJ.
That is an old school radio play-by-play reference.
He's one of the classic Froggy voiced broadcasters of all time.
And we once caught on fire during a broadcast because he used to smoke cigarettes up at the old garden.
He sure did.
And his cigarette he used to put on the edge of the table and it fell into his lap. And he caught on fire during the call. And he's calling the game and he goes, on fire. I'm on fire.
That's really good.
That's a true story.
Stolen by DJ.
Yes.
I used to love Wolfman Jack, by the way, too. He was a good hell of a DJ.
He was.
A classic.
Classic. Come on. Your boy knows about that.
So where is the biggest challenge to the Warriors coming from? Is it coming from the East is it coming from the West where you've got Denver, Oklahoma City, the Clippers are stunning everybody, your Fakers.
Wow.
Was that needed? Really?
Why? The LA Fakers.
For what? For who?
I don't like the Lakers. I never have.
So now they're the Fakers.
Never liked the Lakers.
Me either, Jim.
Okay. Anywho, it's
but
it's,
you don't dig down to name calling.
No, I do, but you beat me to it. So I'll be honest, I'm a little jelly right now.
Good job.
But Lo had it first that the East was going to be more competitive, and we saw it last night, didn't we, Lo?
We did, and it's interesting just watching the East, and I think now a lot of people are going to start recognizing where the East is at. I was laughed at It was laughable. Oh, the East has nothing. Okay, there's Boston Celtics there. Oh, in Toronto, you got yellow. Whatever, low. And the text line was, you know, there was my good people there on the text line. Some support, some didn't. But I just looked at the association, and I saw what Ibaka was doing. I looked at what they were doing in the East, and you look at the Sixers, and even you look at the Pacers, look at Milwaukee, Detroit. They have some good teams in the East, and they're showing that the pendulum has swung. And it swung mightily, because after the Dubs, you look at the East, there's two or three teams there, you know, three or four teams that I believe that would win, that would be better than anybody in the West except the Dubs.
All right, 510 off the text line, the Chilton Autobody text line. Finals, Dubs and Raptors, Dubs and seven.
You'd have to win that game at Toronto then, because right now they got a better record than you.
I know. If someone were to tell you right now that's the best bet for the finals, would you buy in on that? Or you still think you have to wait and see what Milwaukee does, what Boston does, what Philly does?
Milwaukee, to me, is not composed, and they're not comprised to be a championship team just yet. I was on Boston earlier in the year, and Boston is playing better. But right now, you're asking me on this December 13th, 12, 13, 18, and I believe Toronto will come out of the East, and the Warriors will come out of the West, and that seven games...
That's worth it.
That would be very worth it, and that would be a tough one to win on the road. Tougher than winning at Houston, certainly.
That's a tough out. That would be a tough out for the Dubs.
I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. I thought we saw in the span of two nights the two finals. The Stanley Cup final is going to be Sharks and Maple Leafs, but the NBA final is going to be the Raptors, and it's going to be the Warriors. And
so
I
double Bay Area Toronto showdowns?
Absolutely, absolutely. So get ready, morning show. You're going to be going, right?
Yeah, I think we will.
I'm already calling it.
And so are we going to have Giants Blue Jays too come October?
Possibly.
It's possible, but not probable.
Yeah. Let's keep it rolling here on the NBA theme, because I want to ask, did you see what Shaquille O'Neal said about his version of the Lakers and this version of the Warriors? Right? This version of the Warriors, best team of this era. Fair enough?
Yes.
I think so. Yes. And you can make them, a lot of times we get comparisons to the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls. And whether or not they could be that team. And I don't know if it's because Steve Kerr played them, some of those teams, and now coaches the Warriors. I don't know if it's because that was the last, you know, phenomenal super team. But we seem to skip the Shaq-Kobe era of the Los Angeles Lakers when Phil Jackson was the head coach there. Is that team in the same group of super teams that the Bulls were in? Would you put that those Shaq teams in there, Lo?
You would, because here's what Shaq was unguardable. Shaq, I don't care who you put on him. He would get down there at 325 pounds or more, and he outweighed by everybody by 30 to 50 pounds, and it was like a man amongst boys. You throw it in, and that's why they came up with Hack a Shaq. Why? Because he gets down and just you couldn't do anything. You couldn't do anything. So without a doubt, you have to look at that guy as one of the best. And no question, you would have to put that era in here with the Warriors.
All right, Shaq thinks his Lakers teams that won three titles in the early 2000s would dominate the Warriors teams. Here's his reasoning. He said this to the USA Today. He said, I think we'd win easy. Other people might feel different. The Warriors might feel different. But we had one of the best teams of all time in 2001 when we went 15-1 in the playoffs. We would have gone 16-0, but AI went off and when he stepped over Ty Lue. Is that a fair assessment? They could have gone, they almost went undefeated, right? It would have been 15-0, I think, at the time, because it was a 5-7-7-7. Wouldn't have been 16-0. Wouldn't have been 15-0. Were they that dominant? Were they the same dominant that the Warriors' dominance was a couple of years, or even now? But just call what the Warriors are now.
Same level of dominance, but different domination, obviously, right? Because it wasn't a three-point shooting team. But you look at the squad that they had, and you try to imagine how that game would go. You go down to Shaq on the low block time and time again, and Draymond's down there trying to body him like you saw him against Valanciunas.
No chance.
And it's no chance. And what, you're going to have Jordan Bell, you're going to have Kevon Looney. So you're going to go to Hack a Shaq. You're going to go to Hack a Shaq early and often, and you're going to put Jordan Bell out there, and everyone's going to take their six and put Shaq on the line. Otherwise, he's going to go for 50, maybe even 60. And oh, by the way, Kobe Bean Bryant on the perimeter and attacking the hoop, that's going to be a tough out on the defensive end. But you flip it around, and
that's the tricky part.
That is, because as much as Rick Fox is a good defender, he's not going to be able to guard KD.
No.
He's not going to be able to stick with Steph. So Maybe you put him on Clay. You've got Ron Harper, who's a good player, but defensively, at the end of his career, it was his 14th year in the association. So I don't know if he had the legs to stick and guard these guys. So I think it'd be an interesting game. If the Warriors are knocking down the three ball, they beat the Lakers. But as we saw last night, when the Warriors aren't hitting from distance, they're very vulnerable.
You know, they're
going to muck it up. It'd have been a physical game. And that's what
would have
been
a different pace.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's part of it. How does Shaq defend anybody, though, the way the Warriors move the basketball? Now, there are a lot of Laker fans in Northern California. We understand it's a Warrior town. But for a long time, the Lakers were the thing. I wonder if Laker fan in Northern California thinks that the Shaq and Kobe Lakers would compete with this team, this Warrior team here. 888-957-9570. That's Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great to just kind of listen to the listeners because it's hard. Of course, we can't go back in time, but you could, just like you were alluding to, the Lakers will try to slow it down. They would try to muck it up. They'd play big ball, and they'd play bully ball. And you watch, even when the Dubs were coming into their own, the team that gave them problems was you-know-who. The team with Muggsy, with the big team, not Oklahoma, but Memphis. Memphis Grizzlies, a team that was physical.
Grindhouse, when they were going to the Grindhouse.
Exactly.
Okay, I know what you're
They were grinding and physical. That's the kind of ball that the Lakers would play, and that gave the Dubs fits early on. So it would have been interesting.
So Steph responded to what Shaq had to say, all right? And he was pretty confident in his smile. He was talking to ESPN. He said, Shaq's dead wrong. Of course, we'd beat him. We can go back and forth on this all day. He says, for me, it's kind of tough to have this conversation. It's hard to compare different eras. But in terms of having three banners up there and create parallels and comparisons to how they dominated the league through their run versus what we're doing right now, I think that speaks a lot on its own, just in terms of us accomplishing the goal and fulfilling the potential that we have. I think he's being pretty nice. But I think the Warriors would think they might be the best of all time. Steve Kerr at one point, remember when he joked, yeah, it seems like the league gets worse and worse the older we get, the more you move on. I think he was joking about that because a lot of people said, well, players today are softer. Players today don't play as hard. Players today don't play as defensively, right? You were talking about what entertains and the other thing wins championships.
Absolutely. Offense entertains, but defense wins championships.
Right.
Absolutely.
And in the NBA, defense back then was maybe a lot more physical.
No question, it was a lot more physical. And that's why it's so hard to do these era things because you look at the Bulls, who they were. You put Pippen, you know, on KD. How's that work out? You look at Michael Jordan, Defensive Player of the Year. He could play defense. He was a two ways player. You look at what they did with Grant and all the other guys that they had on that team. Hell, yeah. But the three ball is different, so it's hard to compare these eras with, especially with the three balls. You can't touch guys. You can't grab guys.
Right.
You can't bump guys. It's a totally different. It's just hard to match these up.
And Steph says it in his quote when he says all these conversations are just entertaining because one, who knows, and two, the game is so different. So exactly to your point about the game being so different and the eras are different, and who really does know unless you do some sort of computer simulation, but then it's just a computer simulation. You can set those parameters up however you want. I think it would be a very compelling battle. We always say in boxing that styles make fights, and stylistically, that's a pretty interesting matchup.
It is.
Because of the way that you'd have to defend Shaq, and on the other end, how would Shaq be able to stay on the floor against a small ball lineup?
Quick sidebar. Shane Hart from San Carlos did call back. We're going to announce the winner of our Hawaii for the Holidays contest tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning.
It's incredible.
We've got how many qualifiers?
We got six in the hopper. So it's a 1 in 6 chance for Shane Hart and all of the other qualifiers. Can you imagine, though, if you go to bed tonight knowing that you've got
exactly
16.666% chance of getting a trip for four to Hawaii? That's not bad.
I'm telling you right now, these six contestants that are in this, today they're like, oh, my God. Tomorrow morning, they are like, they're telling their friends, they're telling their girlfriends, boyfriends, mamas, daddy. Oh, my God, I might get a free trip to Hawaii for four. I mean, we're going to make someone's holiday. We're going to make someone's vacation. This is unbelievable. Tomorrow morning, be sure to tune in.
Those are incredible odds. My brother-in-law is a cereal contest winner. He loves to call radio contests.
Really?
It's his hobby. He's got two phone lines at home. He is super passionate about winning contests. And he has on, I believe, 17 different occasions. And Devin, I know you're out there listening. Hit me on the text line, Chilton Auto Body 95795. 17 times he's been up for a grand prize of this nature, and he's 0 for 17. And he's been in those contests where you reach into a bag and you pull out a key, and then you go in the car and see if the key works to win a car. I think he's 0 for 8 on those. He's missed out on big trips, but he's been in it.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool hobby, by the way.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting hobby,
it
certainly.
Is. I think it's pretty cool. I think it sounds like, I mean, he's found something he's passionate about.
Yes.
In his spare time, he still has a job and a life, right?
He's the single most quirky individual in the Bay Area.
You're close.
Jim, I want to have him in, and maybe the holiday book is a great time.
Let's do it.
He is a quirk machine.
Let's do it.
Seriously?
I would love that, man.
He'll be like, he'll call me up and say, Daniel, I just won a prize on Q102. It's the Bay Area's new hip-hop station. And then he'll play the audio of him winning the contest.
Really?
Yes.
Bring him on.
Can we please have him on tomorrow to announce the winner of our Hawaii to the Holidays
contest?
That
actually would be great. Okay.
There's a tie-in there.
Because he's never won. Let's do it.
And he knows he can't win from our station because of the familial ties and the contest rules, but he's won from other stations, other markets.
Really? Other markets. So he's on radio.com listening to stations in other markets.
Yes. And when, you know, all these contests, it's like apply online and register online. He'll spend an hour each day just registering for contests.
Good for him. Live your dream, people.
That's the second best hobby I've ever heard someone have. The other one.
Spelunking?
Spelunking is third. The other one is, I knew a guy in Chicago who, he worked at the same company for like 20 years, so he accumulated 5 weeks of vacation every year. 4 of those 5 weeks, he and his mom would fly from Chicago to L.A., stay in a hotel, and they would be extras in movies for one full month.
Incredible.
That's fun.
Exactly. So then in the next year, they would go to all the movies that they were extras in, and they would see if they can find where they are in the scenes. What a cool hobby is that?
Yeah.
Just living in L.A. for a month, and then they'd have their sheet, you go as a, just a, what do they call that?
Extra.
Just a plain old extra, right?
Right.
And some of them
casting call.
Casting call, whatever it is. And they would always go, and it was him and his mom, and they would show up in movies all the time.
That's pretty cool.
That's a cool one, right?
That is cool.
So we got the two best hobbies ever.
Mount Hobbymore.
Mount Hobbymore. We got more to come.
Building the ship inside the bottle's got to be up there, too. That's a pretty fun hobby.
That's not so bad.
So complicated.
So our question is, Lakers of Shaq and Kobe versus this Warrior team. And the responses have been great. Shaq's Lakers would dominate today's Warriors. Then other people are asking, what am I thinking about? Get me off the air, because I even bring the question up. Of course the Warriors are going to be, they would dominate that series. So it's all over the board right now.
Yeah, what are you thinking, Jim?
Me, personally?
Do you think that the Lakers or the Warriors would win if you had a 7-game series that Shaq's Lakers against this current iteration of the Golden State Warriors? Who do you like?
I'm going to sidestep it.
Oh, wow.
I think
Ford and Bob back Monday with some actual opinion.
With a hot take. I think Michael's Bulls beat all of them.
Okay.
Michael's Bulls, that's the single greatest team in history.
You're trying to split the baby right now.
That's what I'm doing.
I asked you just...
It's conjoined. It's a conjoined twin, and I'm splitting it.
I mean, Johnny Most, can you please just pick a side here? That way we can stoke the fires, and maybe we'll get some calls.
All right. Can we jump some in? How about...
Let's go to Chris and Tracy.
Dave in San Leandro. 888-957-9570. Dave, how do you see this one? Shaq, Kobe, Lakers, current Warriors.
Oh, man. First of all, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I definitely want to comment on this. I wanted to comment on a potential Warriors versus Raptors matchup. You know, that team was great. I hated the Lakers, but that Shaq team, Kobe team was really great. But we have to remember, when they played Philly, there was nobody really on Philly except for AI and Dikembe Mutombo. When they matched up against the more balanced team, the Pistons, I know their team is a little bit different, but they got taken out. So I don't see them beating the Warriors. The Warriors have too many threats, and we still haven't seen what the Warriors look like when Cousins comes back. So to me, I just think the Warriors are going to kill it. And then secondly, if they do face the Raptors in the finals, I really hope the Warriors do a good job of marketing the fact that this is the last run at Oracle, because if they do, I really see the Warriors just steamrolling through the entire playoffs.
All right, I like it, Dave. Thanks very much. I think a 16-0 playoff run would be a great way to close out Oracle.
Yes, so would a 41-0 home slate.
Yes, who mushed that?
Well, I think we might have.
I believe so.
That ship has sailed, although it doesn't feel like a mush as much when you look at a team that's 9-9 over the last 18 games. It's not like we talked about it. They lost one home game, and they've gone on to motorboat the competition. That's not what happened. We mentioned it. they lost at home, and they have proceeded to be mediocre over the past month.
I think the great thing about it is what Steve Kerr's been able to say to tell these guys and tell the media. They were in the real NBA. What we've been able to experience the last couple of years, guys, has been fool's gold. And you think about it, they broke the Bulls record. But think about since those times. Go look at the NBA and how the finals have been and just regular season. These records that the Warriors have been putting up, it's been unprecedented. 60-some wins, 60-some wins. And everyone's like, oh, how many didn't win in this year? 63, 65. I mean, think about the numbers. It was absurd what we were throwing around. And now, like Steve Kerr said, reality. If they're still the best team, yes. But now they're in the real NBA. The fool's gold or the magic has just worn off. It's like, okay, I still love my shoes. I still look at them. They're still good looking. But you know what? I'm used to them. And now the Warriors are the same way. Everyone's looking at them. Everyone's up to play this team. Everyone understands who they are. They understand they're good. But it's still hard to get up. And now that's what Kerr's saying. Kerr's saying, listen, relax. This is the real NBA. We are not supposed to be walking through teams and covering spreads of 15 and 20 night in and night out. And this is real.
Okay, this is off the Chilton Auto Body text line. Are you ready for this? This is a string of text from different people from the 510. Warriors would let's not forget the triangle offense that the Lakers ran. Also, don't forget D. Fish, a pesky defender, good shooter. Also, the Warriors lost to the Cavs. If you don't think Shaq and Kobe could beat them, think again. The 510. Only the Bulls can go small and match the Warriors. It would be the Bulls in six. Nobody on the Warriors team could defend the 2001 Kobe and Shaq Lakers. Guys, it's like on the Chilton Auto Body text line, and I'm not being, that was a string right in a row. I wasn't hunting and pecking. Seems like Northern California fans here on the home of the Golden State Warriors think that Shaq was right. Does that make sense? I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, it's just, you're hunting and pecking right now.
No, that was a string. That was not, that
Jim,
was a string.
It
was the 408, the 510, the
510,
the 408, the 707.
Great. I mean, get back to me after you get response from the absolute billions out there. And I think some Warrior fans are not even going to suffer this argument because it's so foolhardy to think about. Shaquille O'Neal would not be able to stay on the floor in a series between these two teams. He's not going to be able to defend anybody. He can't guard Steph or Clay. He can't guard KD. And if you go to Iguodala, you're not going to just be able to leave Shaq on the edge of the key, the restricted area, while Iguodala sits at the three-point line. So offensively, you can go hack a Shaq and neutralize his ability. Defensively, I don't think he can guard anyone, Jim.
Chris in San Francisco, you're next. 888-957-9570. What do you got on this, Chris? What do you got for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, love the show, guys. And I am a Laker fan. I moved up here to Northern California in 96. And I honestly think that the Warriors would probably beat the 0-1 Lakers team strictly because, like the caller said before, if you look at that Pistons team in the finals, I mean, they beat them by putting pressure on the guards. They took Shaq out of the game, so it was hard to get the ball down low. If the Warriors were able to put that defensive pressure on the guard so that Shaq doesn't get it, they have a good chance. Also, I mean, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant, I mean, those three prolific scorers would be able to just dominate, I think, personally, the Lakers' defense. I can't see anybody that would be able to guard KD offensively, you know, Klay Thompson coming off those screens. You also look back to the Suns, and Leandro Barbosa was killing them. Steve Nash was able to get to the hoop. I hate to say it, but I think the Lakers would lose to the Warriors.
All right. I like it. Thanks very much. Top of the hour, we've got John Clayton is going to join us. We'll talk a little bit of NFL with him. Chris and Tracy, you're next up. Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How do you see it, Chris?
Hi, guys. I see it as I have the Warriors in six. You know, the big argument that everyone's saying is that who would guard Shaq? To me, yes, Shaq was, you know, one of the best big men of all time. But the one thing Shaq could not be able to hang with is the pacing in this day and age. He is a force down low, but he is slow. And I would probably bet that the fastest pace in 0-1 is probably six or seven seconds behind the slowest pace now. Shaq would not hang. He would be worn and torn.
Like pace of play. You're saying pace of play, right? That's what you're saying, is that the pace now is just so much faster.
Right. It's so much faster. And, you know, yes, they had Kobe, but we also have someone who was unguardable, and that is Kevin Durant. And the game now where, you know, it's a three-point shot, you know. So the fact that there is no one really who's going to be able to guard Durant with a three, Durant with a mid-range, Durant down low. Thank you, guys.
All right, I like it. Thanks,
appreciate
Chris.
It, Chris. And I think the big part of this is what rules are we playing? What era are we playing in? Because if you go back to 01, when you could not only bump the cutter, but you could straight mug the cutter, Stephen Curry is going to be a little bit more limited in what he can do. Yes, this year, the big expression is freedom of movement. But even if you go back a couple years, there was much more freedom of movement, quote-unquote, than there was in 2001, where a guy like Shaq, when he's playing defense and you try to cut through in a baseline screen, you throw a little elbow, a little spicy hot wing.
That big forearm out there.
That 330-pound hip check, maybe. And, you know, it was all okay. You played on. You played through it. So if you play in modern times, modern rules, I think the Lakers are in a whole heap of trouble.
I think it's kind of fun to go over these things. It's a little bar stool conversation. I like that some of the Chilton Autobody text line are throwing the Bulls in there, the Michael Jordan Bulls in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'd like to see somebody throw in your team, the Celtics from the early
2002.
I listen to you, and all I can think about is Larry Bird, DJ, Kevin McHale, and these great
this
memories.
This is a typical disgusting display.
Was that's that Jim or Johnny Most?
That was what Johnny Most used to do.
He had the audacity to complain about something.
I
can't believe I have to work with Lowe and Dibs and Adam.
Oh, my.
He is a Hall of Famer and one of the
great announcers.
I
prefer to work on the weekends with Matt Kolsky and Joe Shesky.
Oh, my.
That is so true.
Where's Michael Irvin when I need him?
That is
so
true.
He had the audacity to complain about something.
I miss doing television. Radio's for bums.
Paul and Hercules, we welcome you in to 95.7 The Game. What's happening, Paulie?
Hey, I just wanted everyone to remember just how unstoppable Shaquille O'Neal was back then. He was an atomic bomb. 29 teams lived in fear of him. There was no way any of these tiny little Warriors would have been able to stop him. And even if a chance they did, they still had to deal with young Kobe. And it's not like the rest of the other Lakers on that team were a bunch of scrubs. We had a bunch of good defenders. Rick Fox could have been able to match up well against any of the guys. Robert Horry, Horace Grant, those guys were beasts. And there's a reason why they went 15-1 in those finals that year.
Yeah, fair point, Christian, but I don't think that Robert Horry is going to be able to guard Kevin Durant, and maybe he can shadow Klay Thompson, but I don't think he's going to be able to slow Klay. And quite frankly, Derek Fisher, nice, plucky little defender, but he's not going to be able to stop Steph Curry. So appreciate the call, appreciate the point, but
wow.
Agree to disagree.
No respect for D-Fish.
Not no respect.
Your new coach of the Los Angeles, what's the WNBA team?
The Sparks?
Sparks.
The LA Sparks.
Your new head coach of the LA Sparks, by
the way. Great hire.
Yep.
It's a great hire, Derek Fisher. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just pull the ripcord on my Derek Fisher material before you know, personal feelings and insights permeate the program. I'll just say this. If Derek Fisher is going to guard Steph Curry, I like the Warriors' chances.
All right. Fair enough.
Oh, my!
Christian in San Jose, you're going to get the word on it here. Lakers of Shaq and Kobe, current makeup of the Warriors. You throw them into a seven-game mixer. How do you got it, Christian?
Yeah, so Dibs had a great point about the defense and what, you know, what time is, or what era, I guess I should say, they're repping it in. But, you know, they had players like Isaiah Ryder that no one even mentioned, Brian Shaw. You know, Ty Lue was pretty good at D. He did D up AI pretty well. I'm not saying Lakers are dominating, but I'm saying Lakers in seven. I'm saying Phil Jackson figures it out.
All right. There you go. So it comes down to the coaching, because it would be the Zen master against the pupil there, right? Because it would be, didn't Steve Kerr learn everything he knows from Phil Jackson and a little bit of pop on the side?
Yeah, but Steve Kerr has added a little bit more to his repertoire because he just doesn't run the triangle offense. So Steve Kerr has adapted, and you've seen he's having success. And he's a smart guy. He went to a team with already superstars on it, and he's just managing these guys and doing a good job at it. You know, it's a hypothetical, and we can go back and forth, and we can continue, and Laker fans and Dubs fans going to say this one, and we're going to have Bulls be in the conversation there's a lot of teams that would be in the conversation. Could they beat the Dubs? And it just goes to show you how dominant of a team that this organization has put together.
That's a great point, that the Warriors are in the discussion.
Right? Think about that. Steph Curry and Draymond, and that's why when KD's talking about statues and all these different things that they're alluding to, you never hear that they're going to have a statue in New Orleans of Anthony Davis, which is arguably one of the better centers in the league, a dominant center for the last six, seven years. Dominant. Unbelievable. You're not hearing anything about Giannis, a statue there, because they're not winning titles. So when you're thinking about what they're saying and why everyone's looking at them and they judge this team so hard, is because they have so many superstars. They have so many electrifying players. For them to be in the conversation with the Bulls, with the Lakers, with the Celtics, all these great teams, all these iconic teams. Think about how the Warriors should feel as a player. Man, you walk around and say, man, they're comparing us to Michael Jordan's Bulls. They're comparing me to Kobe. I mean, what we're seeing and what these fans and what these Dubs fans, how spoiled they are. And I know Dibs always talk about 40 years, what we've been through. These Dub fans enjoy, relish this, because you're talking about one of the greatest teams that's ever been assembled in the association. This does not happen for a lot of organizations and a lot of franchises.
Well, for them to get to that echelon, they've got to win this title. If you win three in a row and you win four of five, you can then put yourself on the Rushmore, I believe, of all-time great teams.
Wow.
But if you find a way this year to fizzle out and you're 9-9 in your last 18 games, this is not for me to incite panic. I'm just indicating
hair's
facts.
On fire.
There was a time this year when you were 10-1, Jim, as a Golden State Warrior team, and now you're 19-10. So there's going to come a time when this run ends. And you look at last night's performance, you didn't have Andre Iguodala, fine, but you had Draymond, you had KD, you had Steph and Clay, and you went out there and you got motorboated by a team on the second half of a back-to-back without their best player. That, to me, is alarming. And if you just look at that game in a vacuum, you wouldn't think that this team was one of the greatest teams of all time.
No.
In a vacuum,
you're absolutely correct. Interesting thing that you said, Lo. It had to do with, well, they're not talking about building statues in Milwaukee just yet. There was a time when we weren't talking about that for this version of the Warriors, about five, six years ago, but they were on the ascension when Mark Jackson was the head coach and he got them on the right track.
Right.
What NBA team or which teams out there are on the ascension? Is there any franchise who is right now in a model where they could be a team that is a successor to the Warrior throne, the mantle, as Steve Kerr called it last night, and maybe be the next team to have a run? There was always a team that was having a run. The Bulls had their run. The Rockets had a run of two. The Bulls had a run of three. Before that, the Pistons had a run of two. You had the Lakers have their run of three.
The Spurs had a jog because they were on again, off again, but they won four.
It was a run walk.
They won
four and ten,
I think.
Yeah, Spurs, it was a run walk.
What Papa's done, the consistency that you're alluding to.
It was like a race walk.
But none of those teams is in this discussion that we're having, right?
No, I think that there's a team out there that has the talent to, if they can
smell this one coming from a mile away.
No,
I'm just saying.
This is going to surprise you. I'm talking about a team that has a young collection of talent that if they all can get along and find their different roles, I think that they could be a dominant team for the next 5 to 7 years.
I'm excited to hear this one.
The Boston Celtics. I think when you look at...
Not so hot.
No, it's good. I love it.
No, think
Please
about...
Please continue.
Think about...
How dare you try to drive a wedge between us?
Oh, my!
I'm about to fight, Lo and Dibs. We're going to go at it.
Yeah, you guys are giving me to look like I was going somewhere else. I mean, I'm just...
I thought you were going to say the Sacramento Kings, but go ahead.
I thought you were heading further south to your beloved, but...
That was almost too obvious, wasn't it? He couldn't go there.
But you look at Tatum and you look at Kyrie. All the talent that they have that's young... That's 27, 28. They got a lot of talent there, a lot of draft picks. If they can all gel and bring in and go get maybe a more dominant center, Crawford's got me. He's getting a little older and all the stuff that they have there. But I think that this Boston Celtic team, not this year, but I think that you're talking about what team can build like that. You look at the draft picks they got. I think Boston has a lot of young talent. 76ers agreed. Are 76ers are good, but they don't have I just don't think that they have the shooters and everything else at Boston.
They got a little identity crisis now too with Jimmy Butler. Buckets going there, and now
franchise crusher.
Well, you get a sense that you know, Joel Embiid maybe not thrilled with his new positioning on the floor. He's not getting the ball as much in his hands as he once did. So that's one I'm going to still have a wait and see approach on, the Philadelphia 76ers, but you're right about Boston. And Toronto, Kevin Durant said it. He channeled his inner poltergeist, and he said, they're here, because they're not on the way. They have arrived.
But they're here.
Good pop culture reference.
They're not a five-year window. They're here. They have a lot of older veteran guys. They got some salt. That's what I was talking about.
Trying to pull the Warriors into the TV right now.
Yeah.
Alrighty. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1. KGMZ San Francisco.
Wrong movie, but I love it.
The radio home of the Golden State.
He got the wrong movie.
Thursday night football tonight is a good one. Chargers and Chiefs.
Adrian!
One of those quarterbacks we know is going to the Hall of Fame. But the other quarterback is the guy who's eye-popping. We're going to have John Clayton, who's going to join us. He's your NFL insider. He hosts the John Clayton Show up at 710 ESPN Seattle. He's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. And also, you can get him on Twitter, at John Clayton NFL. A lot of good stuff this weekend. We're coming down the home stretch. Three more regular season games left in the NFL. So everything starts to matter a little bit more. And maybe are we ready to go with John? That's great. Let's bring in John Clayton. He joins Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. I'm Jim Cosimore, in for Joe, who's off with the addition to the family. He's getting a little family time. So, John, thanks very much for joining us. Nice, fun slate of games this weekend, whether it starts tonight with Chargers and Chiefs. You got Bears and Packers, a lot of good games. For you, what games stand out as you look at this week in the NFL?
I think tonight's, because it has such significance. Then, of course, I think you look at the New England-Pittsburgh game, big consequences there. But I think the fact that the AFC, you know, could have a major change if the Chargers can pull the upset on the road. I actually went to the Kansas City game on Sunday against Baltimore and just watched the amazing play of Patrick Mahomes. But then you also see Philip Rivers, even though he won't win the MVP, is having an MVP-quality season. We also get to see the collateral damage of some of the things that have happened in the backfield, because, you know, here the Chiefs are down two running backs because Spencer Ware is not going to be able to play. Kareem Hunt has been cut. And then I still doubt whether Melvin Gordon, even though he's questionable, is going to be able to play. So you have both teams down to their third string running backs for the most part. So that I think is going to be an interesting element. But really, I mean, the Chargers have done such a great job. You know, remember that 0-4 start last year? They win 9 out of the last 12. And now here they are knocking on the door, trying to see if they can catch the Chiefs.
And you look at this matchup tonight, the Chargers taking on Kansas City, a 10-3 against an 11-2, but it happens on a Thursday night. Does the league need to look at this and think about maybe stopping the Thursday night football action further ahead in the schedule so we don't have these important games with teams on a short week?
No, because I think that they love this, because remember, with the change in the Thursday night games and the fact that the price went up to $650 million, you know, this is what exactly that they want. I mean, they want as many good games on Thursday as they possibly can. And sure, it does cause a problem for the players. It causes a problem for the coaches because it's on a short week. But this is exactly what they want. Now, players may not want it, but this is what the owners in the league want.
Professor, I couldn't agree with you more. The stage is going to be set for two teams, two quarterbacks. One's ascending, and the other is, you know, getting older, and Philip Rivers, but both are having MVP-type years. In your career, Professor, have you seen a quarterback that can make the throws? I'm not